Reading today is Acts 2, verse 42. My heading says, The New Family. They all gave full attention to the teaching of the apostles and to the common life, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Great awe fell on everyone, and many remarkable deeds and signs were performed by the apostles. All of those who believed came together and held everything in common. They sold their possessions and belongings and divided them up to everyone in proportion to their various needs. Day by day they were all together attending the temple. They broke bread in their various houses and ate their food with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and standing in favour with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being rescued. A prayer. Lord, help us to understand and apply this to our lives today. We pray too for Simon as he ministers to us through your word. Amen.
This is our second in this series about the subject of relationships. Last week we looked at our relationship with God, and I drew from John 15 about the vine and the branches. And this week we're going to explore our relationship with one another as the family of God. In 1 John 3, John describes the followers of Jesus as children of God. Or in other words, we are members of God's family here on earth. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he used the metaphor of a body in Ephesians 4, and that we are part of the body of Christ. We are an expression of that body. Even here at Brixington Church, we are an expression of the body of Christ. We are part of that makes a whole. We're called to be part of a godly community. And that purpose of that community is to help each other find purpose, to encourage one another in our faith journey. In our passage last week in John 15, verses 12 and 17, Jesus gave this command to love each other. To love each other. He gave this command to his disciples, and that includes us today. As his disciples or as followers of Jesus, we are called to love each other. Sometimes church is made out to be an exclusive club for good people. Well, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? It's where people meet who know that they are not good and who need the help of Jesus. Which of us this morning is that cry, Lord, I need you? Our passage this morning is set after Jesus has been reunited, been called up to heaven to be with the Father, and the Spirit of God is poured out at Pentecost. And we're told in verse 42 that the fellowship of believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, I suppose we'd call that now, we'd devote ourselves to the Word of God, to fellowshipping with one another, to the breaking of bread, which we've obviously just done, and to prayer. You know, when you devote yourself to something, do you give of your best? Does it play a major part in your life? Is it all that you perhaps think of when you go to bed and wake up in the morning? Is it what motivates you? Is it what you live for? Is it what you put into practice? Being devoted. John and I, we were up at the Exeter Chiefs on Tuesday this week, and the boys are devoted to being the best rugby player they can be. Which means they spend hours and hours in the gym, getting muscles bigger than we probably, yeah, anyway. Big guys getting stronger and stronger to face the rigors of what they do. And they spend hours and hours also practicing, passing left to right, to tackling, to gameplay and to plans. This applies to any professional athlete committed to giving their best, to doing their best, to achieving their ultimate sacrifice, to beat their personal best, continuing to strive for more. I believe the same level of commitment is demonstrated here by the followers of Jesus. That's what's been described in our text this morning. So I wonder, where do we fit on the scale of being devoted to Christ? Is it, I'm sold up, paid out, and I'm right there. I'm at the cutting edge and I'm just enjoying God. Or is it at the opposite extreme where actually it's a struggle? It's, well, yeah, I can take it or leave it. Or are you somewhere in between the two? Being devoted to Jesus is the call of God upon our lives. Is that sense that God wants the best of us. He doesn't want your second best or the little bit in the morning. He wants the best that we can bring. Because he gave the best to us, didn't he? He gave us Jesus. That sense that all that God held so precious, he allowed to come and take our place, to bear the sin of the world upon his shoulders. So where do you sit this morning on that scale of being devoted to God? And I suppose the other question that comes out of that is, well, is that where you should be? Where you need to be? Or is it something that you need to do something about? We're going to look at what the Bible says in more detail about having a relationship with one another. I've already reminded us about last week that Jesus calls us to love one another. We also see this echoed in Scripture in John 13, where it says this, John 13, verse 34. I, Jesus, loved you, so you must love one another. And then he goes on to say in verse 35, By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So our love expressed for one another has an influence on the world in which we live, because people will recognize that we are disciples of the living God. That means there must be something attractive about that, doesn't there? That when we truly love one another, there is something that the world is drawn to that sees that they don't have. They yearn for, they long for that sense of, actually, I'm missing out on this. And we see that in our passage this morning, that as they expressed and lived and worked together, people were being added to their number daily. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, that famous passage that's many read at weddings, verses 4 to 8, which he talks about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, they're amazing words, aren't they? Is that describing God's love for us? Is it? I think it does describe God's love for us, but it goes deeper than that. Jesus is saying that should be our love, as Paddy just said, for one another. How easy is that to do? Who's got it mastered this morning? I'm still a work in progress. Bless you. Love never fails. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 10 to chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, it says this: "Let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are habit in doing, but encourage one another." Let us encourage. Let us spur one another on. Let's be the best cheerleader we can be for our brother and sister. You know, it's so easy to get trapped in that negativity that the world promotes all the time. You've only got to switch on the TV and it's full of negativity and opinion. The world promotes that negative response to most things. Where I believe Jesus, when he was on earth, he didn't speak negatively to people, did he? At the woman at the well, did he speak negatively to her? A woman that was bound in sin? No. He spoke words of life. Words that would encourage. Words that built up. And I wonder sometimes, because we live in the world, we get affected by the world and our mentality can become a negative one. And I believe God wants to say, Lord, we need that change of mindset. Not to be a negative people, but a positive people. Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ. No, Paul said those words. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That positive message that Jesus gives to each of us, and Paul echoes. Let us be positive to one another. We all need encouraging. And it's so easy to do the opposite, to pull people down, isn't it? It could be a careless word or an action, speaking negatively about someone or even behind their backs. We know gossip happens at times, but it's not a godly principle, is it? Let us be a people that are known that talk positively about others. Dare I say it, let us be countercultural. Let us break the norm of our pattern of this world and of our society that says we're going to speak positively about everybody. A negative word will not come from my lips. I wonder if that's something that we could ascribe to. So let's build one another up. Let's be committed to do that. You know, in our passage, when they were committed to doing that, God, they saw increase in people coming to faith, in coming to know God as their Savior. Because there's something attractive when we are that sort of people. Galatians 5, verse 13 to 15, Paul says this: "You are my brothers and sisters. We're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out that you do not destroy each other." So the warning's there in the book of Galatians, that's saying that if we become negative, then we are in the danger of destroying one another. So let us not follow the standards of this world and live by the ways of the flesh, but let us look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 6, he said this: "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Who struggles with patience? There's some hands went up. There was a chuckle. But we do, don't we? We struggle sometimes with patience because we live in an impatient world where everything is here. You can go on the internet. Even the mother-in-law now has Alexa. Peter, if you don't know what that is, I'll tell you later. Another quango. Offensive thing, yeah. Yeah, they can do. There's a YouTube clip between Alexa and Google, I think it is, or one of them anyway, that having a these two machines having a conversation with one of them, and it's quite funny. But that sense that when we trust God, when we call to aspire to the perfection that Jesus gave us, that example that he gave us, that when we do that, when we're humble and patient and bearing with one another, God's love speaks volumes to our world and to our society. Paul goes on in this passage, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, excuse me. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So let us aspire to keep the unity of the Spirit by fixing our eyes on Jesus. And let's not focus on the faults of others. But let's stand behind them and give them a good cheer. Let's pat them on the back and say, well done. Keep going. You know, let's keep short account with God and with each other. That's why we find James bringing these challenging words in James 5, in verse 16. And this is taken out of context a little bit, and I don't apologize for that, but just to pick up this sense that we keep short account. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. That journeying together that we might spur one another on, that we might encourage one another to do that. Now, I've come up with an illustration this morning, but I need three volunteers. Don't all jump at once. It involves three elastic bands. Well done, Rod. That's all right, it's quite straightforward. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is to stand in a circle together with your elbows touching. Okay. And then with your arms out, sorry. And then with your index fingers pointing out. Index fingers, that one. Yeah, next to your thumb. Right. Back out just a little bit. I'm just going to hook one there and there. Going to come around this side. Oops. Struggling to do this, right? And do one the other, on that one. Right, okay, now. I don't know if you can see this, but anyway, I want you to imagine that. Have I done that right?
I hope so.
No, there's some. No. Yeah, we're all connected. That's fine, right. So we're connected by this rubber band. Now, I want you to imagine that God is in the middle, okay? And the rubber band is God's love holding us. And our acceptance of his love for our lives. Now, we know that life gets difficult, doesn't it? So I'd like you to, if you can, try and take a step backwards. Yeah, that's it. Okay, it's okay. But now you've stepped back, the elastic bands have come a little bit tauter, haven't they? Yeah, straining at the fingers a little bit. Take another step back. Keep going. Keep going. They're good elastic bands. Keep going. Now, we could go ping, but I'm not stepping again. All right. Relax. Okay. I don't want you to hurt yourselves. You know, the problem is with relationships, when they get under pressure, we get stretched. And sometimes, not in this illustration because I'm worried of health and safety, the elastic band can ping and it hurts, doesn't it? If you get caught with an elastic band, it hurts. And that sense that when we stretch away from God and our relationship breaks with either him or one another, it hurts. It hurts. And as we step away, just step away again, what we're doing is we're stepping away from God. We're stepping back. We're pulling away from him. God wants to be in close relationship with us. But he gives us the free will to exercise that and to say yes or no, to either draw close to him and one another or strain and stretch. Okay, thank you very much. I think they deserve a round of applause. Well done. Thank you. So I wonder where our relationship is with God and with one another. Is it stretched and strained? Or is it in that place of closeness and oneness with one another? And I think if I went around the room, all of us would probably give a different answer depending on who we were talking to or talking about. But God's ultimate is to be in that place of complete unity where there is no tension, no stress, because we are putting into practice what we've just been learning about, reminding ourselves about what it says in Scripture. There's a song I was reminded of called The Servant King. And the chorus, this is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering, to worship the Servant King. So our worship of God has a direct correlation with our worship and our fellowship with one another. In our passage from Acts, it talked about every day they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You know, depending on your family, mealtimes can be very precious or they can be very strained. I remember as a young man growing up, my mother had remarried, and we didn't really get on with my stepfather. In fact, when he came and sat down at the meal table, there would be no conversation whatsoever. It would just be deadly silent. Many times he would go and sit in the front room and watch the news and eat his dinner on his lap. And the room was full of chatter when he wasn't there. Such was his influence and negativity upon the family at that time. That's why I say mealtimes can be that place where it can either be a real precious time or it can be a real strained time, depending on where you are with your relationship with one another. Here in our text, we see that sense that they were pleased to share together. There was a sense of joy and oneness as they did that, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. That sense when we work together, when we're pulling in the same direction. It's a bit like a tug of war, isn't it? If you're all pulling on the same side, you're probably going to be successful if you're stronger than the other team. But when you're not pulling and not pulling your weight, I suspect that the tug of war will go the other way. But when we're committed to the same cause, when we're committed to following Jesus, when we put him at the center and we don't pull away, God's love speaks volumes to the community and society in which we live. I know that's the desire of my heart. Is that the desire of yours? And I know I've got some work to do. I want to finish by saying this, that we cannot do it on our own. What's that famous phrase? No man can be an island. We cannot do it on our own because this is a God thing. This is a thing that empowers us, that comes by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is active in our life, he deals with the issues that we wrestle with in our human flesh. And he enables us to grow. We know there isn't a perfect church, don't we? Because if there is, we'd all probably go and want to join it, and then it would become imperfect. But God is at work here today. He hasn't walked away. God wants to use us as the community and the people of God, as children of the living God, to be his family, to demonstrate to a world another way. A way that doesn't demonstrate brokenness, but completeness. How many lives in our community are there of people that are broken? God wants to restore and bring whole. So as the people of God, that is the call of God to the community of us as believers. Yeah, I'm going to finish there. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are at work. Father, I thank you that you never rest. But I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us to devote our lives to you. Wherever we sit on that scale, Father, I pray that you might draw us deeper into you. Lord, that our love, our passion, our energies, our resources, Lord, are made available to you. Father, because if we're honest, you're the best thing that's happened to us. And Lord, we want to just cultivate that. Lord, we want to cultivate what we read in Scripture about fellowshipping with one another, being cheerleaders for one another, encouraging one another, and Lord, not to be dragged into the negativity of the world, but Father, to be countercultural, to make a difference because you are at work in us. And when you are at work in us, Lord, the power of your Spirit is then at work in the communities in which we live. We pray that we might demonstrate you through our activities, through our fellowship, through our witness with one another. Guide us and direct us, Father. Lord, that's a personal plea. Guide us and direct us. Lord, where there are issues, where there are things still to be dealt with, Father, would you help us deal with them? Would you give us the grace to do that? That we might be people, Lord, that demonstrate God's love in a fallen world. Hear our cry this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.